Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Some of you know that a little over a week ago, I traveled down to Kansas City. I was in Kansas City for a leadership institute, a conference that's put on by the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection for church and lay for clergy and lay leaders in churches. There were, 1,800, 2,000 leaders here at this conference from all around the country. And it was really, really good, but it was a bit of a journey to get there. In doing my sort of, I'm a researcher, I suppose, in some ways, especially when it comes to spending money. So I had to look for a long time at a round trip air flight back and forth to Kansas City. And, I don't know if it's just the season or just the circumstance or what, but it turned out that flying from San Diego to Kansas City was more money than I wanted to spend, but flying from L.A. to Kansas City was much less expensive. So I went ahead and did that because I think it's important to be a good steward. And in doing that, then became the question of, well, how do I get from here to L.A.? And there are a number of options. My favorite option, which was cost prohibitive, by the way, but my favorite option, there's a company where you can ride in a Tesla from here up to L.A. It's a great company that does it, but that was more money than I wanted to spend. It turned out I thought about taking the train up, which is something I've done for other meetings, but the cheapest way for me to do it was a one-way car rental. I was really surprised. It was only $30 to go to a one-way car rental from here up to L.A., turns out coming back is different, but I'm not going to get into that. Okay. So the day of, and I'm too frugal to pay for a checked bag, so I have everything packed in my little carry-on bag, and I got my laptop and iPad in my backpack, and I'm good to go. I understood the weather might be a little cool there, so I brought my new favorite sweatshirt. By the way, my new favorite sweatshirt is one that Beth and I bought when we went to the U2 concert at Qualcomm a few weeks ago. My new favorite sweatshirt. So I got my sweatshirt in the front seat next to me so I don't forget it. I got my bag in the back. I get in the rental car, and I head on up to L.A. Now, it turns out that I planned really well, like I'm exactly on time, okay? So I pull into the car rental place. They've got a shuttle that's going to take me over. They've got a long line of cars that they're checking in, but they've got people who are there doing that. I don't have to stand there and wait too long. And the car rental places, they're really efficient, right? The time is money, I guess, from that perspective. And so they're really good about getting me through the check-in process. The shuttle is just right over here. And so I get my bag out of the back, and I get the thing checked in, and I get on the shuttle, and I get to the airport, and I'm just about to get off, and I realize that my favorite sweatshirt is still in the front seat. So the first thing I do is I call Beth because I'm a little bit panicked and angry with myself, like really, really angry with myself. Like if I'm honest, that's part of what was going on. I was really mad at me. And so she helps me to calm down, which is something she's really good at. And she sort of talks me through some next steps. Now, one of the decisions I have to make is, do I get back on, well, the shuttle already left, so do I wait for another shuttle and try to get back over there to get my sweatshirt? I still have to get through security. Remember, I'm on time. I'm not early. Okay, so I'm going to go through security because I can't be late, right? So I go through security, and I call them up. I find the number to call up the rental car place directly. Right, because that seems like the best way to go, because they're there and they're on site, and just send somebody over to check the car. I know everything about the car, so I've got that. So I call them up, and they say, yes, we're right here, and we can't help you. Our policy is that you have to call some 800 number or fill out a form on a website. We can't help you. Oh. Yes, I did my best to be Christian. So I filled out the form on the website, and I called the 800 number, but like it affected the rest of my trip. And maybe you can understand that. Just like, I'm not going to continue the story later, so just the side note, I never got my sweatshirt back. It's gone. Yeah, I feel that way too. So I'm going out to Kansas City, and like I have this sort of hanging on me. And then, you know, we land, the flight was okay. It was a newer plane, so all of us had our own little magic screens, and that was all great. And we land, and then there's sort of the rigmarole of everybody getting off an airplane at once, which is always tough, and people pushing and whatever, and I'll just wait. So I finally got off the plane. One of the things that turns out about this particular trip, we have some friends who live in the Kansas City area, and they said, well, if you're coming to Kansas City, you're not allowed, like it's against the law for you to get a hotel room, you have to stay with us. Like they're very generous friends. They're friends who used to be at the congregation that we were at in Nebraska, and then they moved to Kansas City. So they're so it turns out, like, I get off the plane, and I get this long series of text messages. This long series of text messages are how to get to the car that they left in the parking lot for me to drive to their house. You see, they have a car for their youngest daughter who's not quite old enough to drive, so they said, well, here, just use this car and then save the cost of a car rental. Like I said, a super generous family. So I follow these pictures and text messages and get outside, and they're letting me drive a BMW. You see how my mood's changing a little bit. So I get in this BMW, and it's about a 45-minute drive to their house, and here's what I think about. This incredibly generous family took time to drive a car up and park it in the parking lot in an easy place for me to get to so that I can then drive it back. Wonderful family. And then I get to the conference. Now, I have a particular connection with this congregation. The United Methodist Church of the Resurrection is where this conference is hosted. I have a cousin who manages the good-sized bookstore that's on the site. I'm sorry, Resurrection, I didn't talk about what that church is. It's the largest United Methodist church in the country. If you've heard of a pastor named Adam Hamilton, he's the senior pastor at that church, okay? So my cousin, they just opened a brand new, I don't know how many million dollar sanctuary. Like it's a beautiful, beautiful sanctuary. So my cousin manages the bookstore. I have a great uncle who's a retired clergy person who has a special connection with that congregation. I've got cousins and other folks in that area. So it's just really, really good. And so like I got there to the conference and it was good. I got to see my cousin and my family, a former colleague of mine. Well, I would say still a colleague, but he used to live here in San Diego. Joshua Clough used to be over here at First Church in Mission Valley. He's serving there at United Methodist Church of the Resurrection, so I got to reconnect with him. Another friend of mine, Sarah, who's the pastor at Costa Mesa First United Methodist Church, she's got a new book out, and she was there as one of the speakers at this conference. I got to meet a bunch of new people, got to reconnect with a friend who, like, we've met in person many times, but we mostly communicate online because he lives in another part of the country. And we got to brainstorming. With my friend Jason, I've got this cool idea of a sermon series based on our Wednesday night ministry, based on Project Grace. Because we feed people, but we can talk about spiritual hunger. We give people something to drink, and we can talk about living water. Right? We give people health care, and we can talk about the healing stories of Jesus. We offer dental care. You know what scripture I thought about for that? It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles, it's what comes out. That's a good connection, isn't it? Yeah. But one of the most profound things that we offer on Wednesday night each and every week, I think, is community. We in this congregation, we made a decision shortly after I got here, and this was in partnership with our Readiness 360 group, if you remember that group. We took some time to evaluate, like, one of the primary ministries that we engage in outside of worship, like, worship is one, okay? But what are some of our really sort of outward-facing ministries that are really important to this congregation? And one is our inclusion of gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender persons, okay? And our other is our outreach to the unsheltered. So shortly after I got here, we took some time evaluating, do we do these just because we've always done it, or do we do these because we're passionate about it? And based on that evaluation, it turns out we're still passionate about it. In fact, we started getting an influx of people on Wednesday nights to volunteer, and we had to figure out a job. That job was sit with people and talk to them and treat them like they're humans. And it's an amazing sense of community that happens here each and every week. So, One of the things that I found really important about this trip to Kansas City is even in the midst of losing my favorite sweatshirt, in the midst of some of the difficulties that come out of travel, like there was a great deal of value in I showed up. I showed up. And that was really, really, really important. It was important to me spiritually. It was important to me emotionally. It was important to me intellectually. I learned a ton. It was a good thing. One of the things that I think is really important for us as a congregation, as a community of faith, is the choice to show up. And it's a choice that I think gets harder and harder because there's more and more stuff that happens on Sundays. Maybe you're a football fan. Football happens on Sundays. But maybe you have kids or grandkids who are in sports that take place on Sundays. Maybe you have kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews who are involved in scouting programs or other kinds of extracurricular things. Maybe you have kids or grandkids or loved ones or nieces and nephews who are at the age where they're beginning to work and get jobs, and sometimes Sunday mornings are those things. And we have a harder and harder time prioritizing being in church on Sunday morning. It's a hard thing. And yet our bishop, I've mentioned this over these last couple of weeks, our bishop has set a goal for us to increase our worship attendance, among some other goals, but increase our worship attendance by 10%. And here's part of why that's hard. We're in a negative trend in this congregation. I don't know if you know that. In 2015, our average weekly attendance was 179. Now, I think, based on my memory, I think the average nationwide is like 100. So, like, compared to that, we're doing okay. But 2015, 179. 2016, 162. That's a downward trend. This year, to date, as of last Sunday, 161. Now, the caveat with that is we haven't had the big Christmas boom yet, right? The other caveat with that is that we're including online worship in those numbers, and that has added sometimes as many as 30 people in a week, sometimes as few as 7. Okay? So, we got to think about this stuff. But I would also say that the importance of a community of faith has nothing to do with those numbers. It's not about the numbers. Like, I want to be honest with you on what the numbers are, because that is one way that our congregation is measured in terms of its vitality. But I would say that's a measurement, not the goal. Okay? I would say that the goal is to create a community of faith that has meaning for us. Create a community of faith where we choose to show up. Where we choose to see the value in showing up and follow through with it. I'd like to turn our attention to Scripture. The story of Acts, this is one of my favorite stories. I mean, I love the Pentecost story, and this is what comes immediately after the Pentecost story. And sometimes I sort of feel like if we could do more of what this Scripture is, we would be a better community of faith. And so that's why I think this is a good Scripture for us to experience. This is out of the second chapter of Acts. And like I said, it immediately follows the Pentecost story.
This is verses 42 to 47. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved.
The very first verse that Joan read, the believers devoted themselves to the apostles, to what they were taught. The believers devoted themselves to what they were taught and to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. And that's good. And I think we do an okay job devoting ourselves to what we're taught. Maybe. But do we do this good a job? Because I got to tell you, when I get on the phone to Lost and Found because I lost my favorite sweatshirt and they say, we can't help you, I have trouble remembering those teachings. I have trouble being a good Christian in that time. And I submit that maybe for all of us, there are times that come up in our lives where we get angry or we get emotional or whatever happens for us, where sometimes we set aside or forget about those things that we've been taught. When we could maybe devote ourselves more fully. I gotta tell you, I feel like I could do more of that. But here's another thing that I have trouble with, and it's in the very next verse. It says, a sense of awe came over everyone. Now, as someone who stands up here and talks just about every week, and who has an integral part in the leadership of this worship service, I got to tell you, it's hard for me to experience a sense of awe in worship because I'm thinking about the next thing that's coming up. I was at a conference where a pastor got up and said, you know, we were going to worship together. It's a whole group of pastors, and said, I want you as a pastor not to think about what's coming next, but just to be here and worship. And what an incredible gift that was in that conference to hear that pastor say that. Now, it also occurred to me that that pastor was probably being pastoral and thinking about what's coming next so that he thought to say that thing. But for Pastor Christopher, I mean, we talked about it a little bit last service, and for me, it's hard for us to experience that sense of awe at God's presence in worship. I submit that for other leaders, for Ron and Lewis, for Joan who's reading today, for Hope who was speaking today, there's preparation and things that go in for that. For our great folks who are running sort of our multimedia and digital stuff right now, it can be hard for us to get into that sense of awe and understanding the presence of God in worship because we're thinking about when does the next slide change? Or what key is the next song in? Or am I going to get that solo part next? Or what am I going to say to the kids this week? But I wonder if we all have some similar experiences too, where when we're in worship, maybe we forget to be open to our sense of awe at the presence of God because we've got to go to the grocery store after this, or, you know, there's a lunch gathering, but whose car am I going to ride in this week? How am I going to do this thing on Monday or that thing on Tuesday or this other thing on Wednesday? And how often do we open ourselves to the presence of God in our worship setting? And I want to be clear about this. When I say the presence of God in our worship service, I'm talking about the triune God, Creator God, Holy Spirit, Creator Son, Holy Spirit, sorry. How can we have a more open sense of the awe that might be possible at our Creator, at Jesus the Christ, the Holy Spirit, in our time of worship right now? But I tell you what, I'm going to work on it. Even in the continuing ways that I provide leadership in this worship service, but maybe find some other ways. I'm going to work on being more open to that sense of awe, and I hope you'll join me. Because I think it's important that we gather together here as a community of faith in this time to experience being here. I want you to think for a second about something about being here in church. Have you ever had it happen where you're on your way to church, and there's that one person that you know that you want to talk to? Maybe you want to follow up on a previous conversation. Maybe you just want to say hello. Maybe it's that person who gives like amazing hugs and you want one of those, right? And imagine how it's felt, because it's probably happened. Imagine how it's felt when you got here and it turns out that person's not here. Oh, like that's kind of disappointing. But now flip that around, because I submit that you have an impact on the people who are here. And that Sunday when you just had a lot going on and you weren't able to show up, and how that might have affected the community that gathered but was a little bit less because you weren't able to be here. I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that's a natural thing, but it also has a natural impact on the rest of the community. Sometimes we gather together in a faith community, and that's our sense of community, and I think that's an important thing. I really do. But there are other ways that people gather together and experience community. Sometimes it's gatherings in a home, and sometimes it's gathering in a community event. Sometimes it's a gathering at a concert. And sometimes that sense of community is shattered when gunshots ring out. I was particularly affected by the violence in Las Vegas a week ago today, because I have a number of friends who live in Las Vegas. I have a number of friends who were attending that particular concert who had to run for their lives. To be distant and to worry for my friends was something that was emotionally difficult for me. I will say that none of my friends were injured. I will also say that for some of my friends, they have been changed for life because of what they saw a week ago today. One friend said that she will never be able to unsee what she has seen and doesn't expect to ever be able to talk about it either. And I think that we can think about that violence and say, where was God? In the shattering of that community, where was God? And here's my answer to that, because I think that God was in the presence of community even as this rain of ammunition fell on thousands of people. I read a news story about a man who was shot in the leg, and as he was, as I understand it, pulling himself along the ground, someone who was running by stopped and picked him up and opened the bed of a random pickup that was nearby and put him up in the bed, took off the man's own belt and wrapped it around his leg to slow the bleeding. And the way this man describes it, saved his life. On Facebook, a social media platform, if you're not familiar with it, on Facebook there's a way for people to mark themselves safe. And I saw, that's how I first became aware of what happened, as I saw all these things on Facebook of my friends marking themselves safe, which was a good thing. But it turns out if you click that link, if you click that little image where people mark themselves safe, you can not only look and see, well, what other friends have been in the area recently who have or have not marked themselves safe, but then there's a long list. I couldn't even get to the end of it. You know what that list is? People offering help. It's this long list of people saying, well, I live nearby in Arizona, and if this is on the way for you for going back home, I have a place for you to stay. Other people who lived in Las Vegas say, if you need a ride somewhere, if you need to get from the hospital to your car, if you need to visit somebody in the hospital, if you need a place to stay, I have a place for you. I can help you. I have several friends who live in Las Vegas who tried to go to their nearest Red Cross blood donation center so that they could give blood, and they found out that they couldn't for two reasons. One, the lines were too long, and two, the Red Cross ran out of blood donation supplies. If you want to ask me where God was in Las Vegas a week ago today, God was picking people up off the ground and putting them in the back of pickup trucks. God was standing in line waiting to give blood. God was getting online and saying, I have a place for you to stay and I can give you a ride. This, my friends, is what community looks like. And it's beautiful. And it brings me to tears when I let myself think about it. This community of faith has meaning and it has power if we let it. It has a sense of awe if we let it. If we don't let ourselves get distracted by what's coming up next or what's happening tomorrow or the next day or next week. If we don't give in to a sense of fear about whatever might happen. If we allow ourselves to be open to the awe that is possible when we open ourselves to our Creator, to our Christ, and to the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have an opportunity to experience this transforming sense of community and love and care and grace. My question is, will we show up? Will we be present physically, but as Hope mentioned, will we also be present emotionally and spiritually? Will we show up? So my invitation, indeed, my friends, my challenge to you is to show up. Show up more often than you already do. And not only show up more often than you already do, but engage yourselves physically, spiritually, emotionally more than you already do. I submit, my friends, that in this community of faith, there is a deep possibility for an awareness of God's presence. If we want to experience that, we have to show up in all the ways that there are to show up. I invite you to step up, to be present, to be community. Amen.
Church family, I invite you to join me in an attitude of prayer. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on the way. Lord, we come before you this morning just in awe, Lord, of your love and of your compassion. And yet, Lord, even in the midst of this, we come before you as still part of us with a heavy heart, knowing indeed that this has been quite a difficult week for many of us, and Lord, a particularly terrible week for our nation and for so many people in Las Vegas. Lord, we acknowledge and recognize your love and your grace is always present, always among each and every one of us, Lord. And we know that you call us, that you invite us to manifest that love, to manifest your healing hands and your hopeful presence in community wherever we go. And yet, Lord, we confess there are times when perhaps we don't quite know how to be present. We confess there are times when we are afraid to be present to those who are different from us, who look different from us, Lord, or who we just are kind of uncomfortable with. And Lord, we ask in the midst of all of this for your forgiveness, Lord, that you might help us, that you might guide our spirits, Lord, that we can transform in such a way that we can be the presence, the disciples, and the community you have called us to be. Lord, we pray that you give us the strength to overcome whatever fears we might have that prevent us from reaching out to others, that you might give us the courage to overcome whatever concerns we might have in opening up and being vulnerable with someone. Lord, let us indeed be your presence among those who are in so desperate need to hear your message of good news, your message of love, and your message of compassion. And yet, Lord, in the midst of all of this, the midst of all of that is going on, we know that there are certain things in our own particular community that we would like to lift up, particular prayers, joys, and concerns. And so, Lord, I invite you to hear these. And Lord, lastly, we just ask that you would, Lord, strengthen us, that you would keep us mindful of the teachings of your Son, Jesus the Christ, that we may be able to follow his image, Lord, to make a way out of what appears at times to be no way, that you can keep us mindful of his thoughts and actions by following, Lord, his prayer, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.